it's getting very clear on what's mine. And when we can get to what's mine and start to heal it and make us abundant down there, that's when we've already completed true phase one of manifesting money, right? Because the second being expanding, the third being opening portals, and the fourth being truly not settling for anything less than what that core, authentic, whole, worthy self truly desires and wants, came onto this planet to experience this time around. All of us are different, and no one is better than the other.
Welcome to the Expanded Podcast with your host, Lacey Phillips. As a leading manifestation advisor with a process that's, well, radically different from the old New Age model, mine is rooted in psychology, neuroscience, and my energetic gifts. I created this podcast to help you expand your subconscious limiting beliefs about the potential of deserving the manifestations you're calling in. Therefore, you're tuning into this podcast series to show your subconscious that anything you desire is possible. And by pressing play, you've already started the process of manifesting it.
And we are officially in May. May is going to be money month, but more on that in a minute. I have a little bit of an update for those of you who have been following along and joining in as well on my healing journey on the Bean Protocol, which was founded by Karen Hurd. You can listen to the episode, the original that her and I had. It's linked below, where she goes in depth into her story behind how she founded the protocol and the hormonal functions and all the things. So as a recap, I had suffered from really debilitating hormone instability, and we've been trying to get pregnant now. Actually, this month is 5 years, and also really extreme adrenal burnout. So I started it 9 months ago. This month is my 9th month, and it's my third mitosis, which she explains in that episode. And when we actually first met, she said she estimated that it would take me about 9 months, 3 mitoses, which is the cellular turnover, to seek hormonal balance. And just to give her some real credit there, I threw a real wrench in it and did egg retrieval for IVF now 3 months ago. And we thought that that would really throw everything crazy and out of whack. And certainly the first month after was wild. Second month was chiller. And by now, I'm really happy to tell everybody that this cycle, I had almost zero any symptoms of PMS or hormonal imbalance. I mean, it was really severe stuff, like signs of endometriosis, night sweats, crazy bloating, all of the PMS symptoms you can think of, even down to nausea. So it was what it really actually felt like. I was, you know, I had the early symptoms of pregnancy every month for the last 2 years due to this herbal protocol I had been on with a wonderful acupuncturist, but it was just way too tonifying for my body, and I'm very sensitive. So for anybody out there who's doing it with me, you're doing it for yourself, or you've been following this journey, I'm about 95% healed and my hormones are absolutely stable. It's totally mind-blowing. I've also been dabbling into other things as well, so I don't know what's played the biggest part, although I have been completely steadfast on the Bean Protocol. Haven't really gone off track except for the holidays around Christmas. I've been so into researching all things spontaneous healing. One of the other trains of thought, which has become so fascinating because a key person on our team is a 4th generation Christian Scientist, and that's not Scientology. You know, everybody who hears it thinks Scientology. I was sort of familiar with Christian Science just because my grandparents had dabbled in it, you know, back in the 70s. And so I have some of their vintage books, but I wasn't too familiar with the thought behind it or any of the research. And the person on our team, about a year in, I found out that she was. And I love theology and asking people about the, you know, the religions they grew up with. It's just, I love all forms of spirituality and teachings. And so she became extremely expansive for me, and this is very common, as a fourth generation Christian Scientist, she's never been vaccinated. She's never been to a doctor. She's never been to a hospital. She's never had any illness, or she doesn't know anybody in her community who has either. And so to me, I'm like, well, you have something figured out and I want to hear more about it. And so they're one of the biggest communities who have spontaneous healings. It's bananas, in fact, when you start to look through what they call testimonies. And you go through the deep dive on the thousands and thousands of them that they have, it's unbelievably expansive. So I've been looking at that side by side with Joe Dispenza and some Bruce Lipton, all who center on spontaneous healings. And obviously Joe Dispenza has a good, I just can't even go through the depths of how much research he has, and through using neuroplasticity, epigenetics. I mean, he goes in deep. And if you haven't heard even just his first episode on the Goop podcast, it's actually a perfect explanation of spontaneous healing. So I've been really researching them all in combination, and it's given me the expansion I need that my body 100% can live in complete homeostasis, and it can happen quickly. Like, even according to our model, what's been the most effective about all of my research has been expanding through expanders, through stories, and then learning the processes behind them. And most of it centers on neuroplasticity, which obviously speaks my language. Being protocol, I've been coached, you know, month by month with Unique Hammond. We also have her episode linked below. This month just totally blew my mind. Yeah, I'm just blown away. I really, really thought, okay, cool, I'd be better, but I never thought that all of my hormone stuff would totally go away. So I just want to serve as an expander for anybody out there who's really struggling with all the debilitating things that come with that, with infertility, with any type of extreme adrenal fatigue. That is a really big update I have, and I'm really stoked on it. So excited to share that with you. I'm up at the retreat house with Max this weekend, and it is unbelievably beautiful. We are going to do all the self-isolating biohacking things up here and just really get into all the outdoor privilege that we have up here, which I'm really grateful for, but I truly acknowledge. So we have the outdoor clawfoot tubs that are open and the outdoor showers, and we're going to do infrared. And we've just been cooking really, really nourishing food and baking breads. So that's what we're up to this weekend. And let's get into Money Month. Today's episode is really a good one. I have to preface it that my mind is actually on a manifestation I've been working on now for 2 years. So I kept having to tell Jessica, like, I've got to get into it and, you know, channel, because I'm actually in the depths of my own really big manifestation and a brand manifestation coming through, which would be the next retreat house. It came onto my radar 2 weeks ago out of nowhere, although I knew it was getting very, very close because I've been getting triggered in very specific ways and getting very specific pings. And it was actually when I left the retreat house in April that I went, holy shit, the house is really close, or a very big test and expander is close. And so one presented itself 2 weeks ago. I'm not going to get too into it until I have like a yes or a no. At this point, I'm making an offer this week. I will share that it's on the East Coast. It's a farm, and it's by a beach and by a little whaling town. It's everything on a list that I actually cast 2 years ago on my birthday in February, as well as one that I cast this January. So my mind has just been like obsessing over that. And as I was going through this month with the team, it's funny how crucial unblocked money is for this and how far I've come from where I come from. Just to preface that, Unblocked Money is re-released today. It's a extended edition. We've tripled it. And so some of the new things that all of the Pathway members can find in there, or of course, anybody who's curious a la carte can go and check out. We have added quite a few new days of really looking at your programming. So one specific to inner child, one specific to all of the shadow and shame we picked up around money. Also anything specifically to religion or spirituality we've heard about money. All of it's fine. Like, this brand is all-inclusive. I love theology. I love learning about all different types of religions and thoughts and paganism. Like, I love it all. It all fascinates me. And so I really respect where anybody's at, whatever they practice. However, what you learn in that day is it's very important to look at everything you've picked up around spiritual messaging regarding money and Eastern philosophies such as detachment and Buddhism versus mysticism. And all of it's great. It's just that whole day is focused on getting into what is the truth you want to continue to carry while respecting everything, but what do you want to keep looping on? So it's a really deep dive and magnifying glass on that. And then we really get into creating your very own authentic money code, which is different than the authentic code, which a tangent that now lives alone inside of the pathway. So you can go and find that anytime without having to be an up level. So if you're a pathway member and you pop into your membership and everybody's always talking about what their authentic code is, you can go and find yours now straight in its own very portal. But we have one specific to money in that now. We also have a deeper explanation on the love and money connection and how to examine it in your life. And we give you a deep dive into transitioning. So leaving a career, looking for another job within the same career, bridge jobs, FU funds, asking for a raise. We also have a part about looking at what debt means when you are working through unblocked money or calling in money, how it affects it, if it's blocking you, steps of how to start working on getting out of debt. And then we have a really cool one that is very important that I don't think a lot of people look at, but energetic glass ceilings. So looking at what your energetic glass ceilings you've picked up from programming or what you carry now, just based on what maybe you have never seen to believe, and so much more. So all month long, we figured that this is the month that could be the most useful for many right now in these uncertain times and how everybody is potentially in a transition, whether it's a rock bottom, a rut, or they're ready to move into the next level. Since we are all being affected so differently, we thought that this could be incredibly supportive. I'm very excited for everybody to check it out. So today you will hear my co-host Jessica Gill and I get into some things. A cool new thing we covered today that I think you'll enjoy is we get deeper on the energetics of what we talk about in Unblocked Money, the masculine worth energy. So that's a really good highlight in here to really digest and take home when you're working through that workshop. We've also included it inside of the workshop too. So come along on the journey with us this month and get into Unblocked Money. We should all maybe do a challenge around this, like a self-challenge. So everybody in the community who's directly being affected by money, whether again, it's a rut, a rock bottom, or they're wanting to up level, let's all go through this new extended version of Unblocked Money together, whether you're in the pathway or you want to check it out a la carte. Here goes.
Well, welcome back, guys, to another episode of Explained. Today, we are covering all things Unblocked Money. I think this is a really good one. We didn't have a specific explain last month because everything was just kind of so crazy with COVID. I want to make sure we were getting content out that was pertinent to you guys at the time, but we're really excited to dive into money today.
Yeah, and it's just nice to, I don't want to say get back into normalcy because certainly everybody's life doesn't feel that way, including ours. However, getting back into a rhythm of a theme, I think is so helpful. And out of the many themes we had in our pocket right now, it seemed that this topic is relatable to each and every one of us and that we can all glean a lot from it. And so therefore, we've now tripled the original money workshop to include so many new things, yes. Which we'll get into some of it here. And then at the end, we will mention all of the new additions.
Awesome. So let's kick it off with a quote. Your worth is non-negotiable. Your income or your circumstances may change, but your worth is inherent. I thought this was a good quote to grab because a lot of times with money, because it does correlate to your self-worth so much, I think it's important to just kind of put out there that you're inherently worthy and it's all of the programming and conditioning that's put on you that makes you feel otherwise. And it's totally able to kind of shed all of those beliefs and programming and to get back into your worthy state, which will in tune help your your net worth.
Absolutely. And just to dovetail on that, what you said is so important, right? Each and every one of us, we hear this language a lot in manifestation. We're naturally abundant. We're innately abundant. But that's really abstract, especially for the person who, even if it's intellectualized, it's like, cool, how is that tangible? How can I actually see the benefits of that and reap what I've sowed from it, essentially? And so just to break that down a little bit further, all of us are uniquely abundant. Each of us came into the world totally authentically whole and worthy. And within that means abundant, you know, worthy of love, worthy of whatever abundance looks like for us. And that looks like for us point is super important because each of us have a different core essence. And one of the new additions in the workshop, which we'll touch on in this episode, is we put in the money authentic code. We each have our own, you know, money looks so different for every person and what they desire from it, especially like what you said, Jessica, when we start to peel this onion layer away of what society has told us we want money for, what our families told us we want money for, what our exes have made us long for money for out of shadow, out of pain, out of trauma. And we really start to peel that away and get into our true core essence, our authentic code of what we want money for. And then, you know, it's all about the expansion around it, the portals around it. And that's when the magic starts to happen. But we each innately have that. And yours could look totally different from mine. You know, I used to have clients that really wanted money for their NGOs and to help the world, with others who wanted it for their families, other for material items, because they're very torn and they're all about design, which I relate to. So we all uniquely have that. It's all innate within us. It's just really understanding that core essence, peeling the layers back that defy or project that we're not worthy of it, expanding and opening the portals for it, and therefore, of course, being in our worth and turning down, delegating or detoxing anything that doesn't align with it.
So let's jump into it. So when it comes to money, money is essentially, and you said this many times, money is energy. And the energy of money is expanded in self-worth, our higher self-worth, the more money and energy we feel worthy of calling into us. So you've talked on this a lot of, like, you know, once you understand the simple energetics of money and abundance energy, it flows so much more seamlessly than we kind of have when we have all of this programming on top of it. So explain kind of that concept of money being energy.
Yeah, I used to always hear that. And that was so, again, abstract and manifestation content. Money is just energy. You know, where you're abundant, it flows. Where you're positive, it flows. And it's like, I used to practice a lot of positivity and it wasn't flowing for me. So in fact, to even get clear on that, which those of you, the members of you who have done the Unblocked Money workshop in the past, we talk about the masculine worth energy. And just to be very clear here, it doesn't have anything to do with male or female or gender. There's a difference in the energy when it's a masculine worth energy. You know, like the feminine, you know, traditionally that energy tends to be in its emotions and it tends to be fluid and nurturing and creative. Not to say that masculine energy can't be that, but it's a duality, right? And the masculine energy tends to be more anchored and it's a more ambitious, knowing our worth energy. And any sex can inhabit this. Again, I really want to make that clear. It's not gender specific. So when we start to harness that energy, that's that masculine worth energy, it's when we're our most in our power and we're not willing to bend or back down or settle. And again, you can be the most feminine person on the planet, but practicing this in the money realm. So to give an example of me, when I'm in my masculine worth energy, after I've done so much of the unblocking that I needed to do, because I came from a very strong lack mentality, generational Irish, the men are all gamblers, alcoholics are incompetent, the women all not only have five or more children, but take care of the household and work and pay for everything. They all have shift-based jobs, you know, so the common languaging growing up, you've heard me say before, it's like my mom would say, we're writing a hot check, we can't afford this, marry well, all of that programming, I had to to unlock. And when I started to unlock that, I started to notice that there, when it came to money, there was an energy that was very different than my normal energy, which is a masculine energy. It's very directional. It knows what it wants. It doesn't back down to worth. It really stays in its value. So there isn't a lot of fluidity with it. There's creativity, of course. What about you, Jessica? Let's turn this over. I want to see if you can put tangible, when you've been in your masculine worth energy, what does that feel like for you if you were to give adjectives or description to it?
To me, my masculine energy is like part of my like boss babe persona. Kind of what you were saying, like I'm not really operating off my emotional or nurture side. Like I love that part of me that's still part of my like authentic code and all of that. But when I'm operating in that sort of money worth or even like business minded, it's very pragmatic. It's a lot more, it seems logistical than other parts. And it's very unapologetic, I think is a good word for it. Mm-hmm. Whereas a feminine side might be a little bit more receptive or in the flow or not, you know, worried about anything. And the masculine side of me will come out with like, nope, I deserve this. This is what I'm offering. If not, fine, I'm going to walk away. Like it's a very empowered sort of unapologetic side.
That's a perfect empowered unapologetic. Those were words I was looking for. That's fantastic. And I think something really important that we're both highlighting is this isn't an energy one has to be in all of the time. In fact, I've noticed the more unblocking I've done, the more my trust muscle has been strengthened. So again, just for anybody new tuning in, a trust muscle is the more that you do this work, the more you manifest, the more you build your trust like a muscle. And therefore, it becomes very easy to not settle for old low self-worth patterning opportunity or triggers, which are what we call tests that the universe tests us with anytime we're trying to up-level and manifest something greater. So anytime I've up-leveled, I've really strengthened that trust muscle. And so two things. I think A, when we are doing that unblocking or strengthening that trust muscle through passing tests, it's like that masculine worth energy actually becomes innate in my subconscious. It's like it changes the imprintation of the old lack loops that we're looping and projecting out. I don't know if you can relate to this, Jessica, but I'm not in that energy all the time. It's actually most of the time I'm much more in my feminine now in different ways. It's when it comes down to when I'm being tested financially or with triggers, when I'm calling in something greater. Those two times, that's when I switch into it. And it's when I need it. But it's actually rare that I live in that energy. So that's something really important, I think, while starting to dive into this work and the money workshop, is that it's really about changing those old imprintations in our unconscious and really reprinting it with this new knowing, this new projection, and then knowing when we need to switch into it, when we're being tested, when we are calling in something, when we're up leveling. What are times that you notice when you switch into this energy, or do you relate to what I'm talking about as well, Jessica?
Yeah, and I think that's actually like a perfect to understand it in different terms too. It's almost like you have to tap into, I always think of like actors, like you're tapping into this other part of your psyche, which is this masculine energy that maybe you haven't been confident in or strong in for a long time. If you come from like, let's say a lack mindset or, you know, in poverty or any of these other things, right? So like maybe you're not strong in that mindset. So as you're growing and growing out of it and being tested in all these new scenarios, it almost feels like playing a character. Like you're playing this masculine, like what would it be like if I responded to this in as someone who's in their worth, and almost like putting as this archetype of this masculine energy and kind of stepping into that. But then as your worth grows and, you know, things start flowing to you and you're unblocking all of these things, you don't need to lean on that archetype anymore because it's almost like laying dormant in you.
I can really identify with what you just said, Jessica, because when I first started tapping into that energy, so an example of that would be as a brand for a while, we can feel that we're up leveling. I personally have been tested through triggers all around me. And I could feel there was a point 2 weeks ago that I was at the retreat house and I went, whoa, the house is about to come through. I just knew it because I know that, you know, the two things I've been calling in, that's one of the big ones. And anyway, so this one has presented itself. I have every right to make a very low offer on this property just based on the circumstances. However, the current realtor is like, look, I know this market. I don't know if they'll entertain that. But until I was able to shift when needed into this old archetype, we have a great day of this too in Rock Bottom. We call them grace expanders. This would be considered a masculine worth energy expander. I had to shift into my version of that, which looks different as I age. And I'll be curious to see what kind of yours have been. But it's just like you're saying, it's like a movie character. It's taking on a different persona. And when I shift into that, and when I had to communicate to her why I'm going to go low on this, I had to very quickly come out the door and be like, look, I found my breaking point of where I won't go further. And I'm a terrible negotiator. Like, I send max in for everything because being codependent, I hate confrontation. But I know that's a big part of me needing to up level this year is understanding how to do that. And the moment I shifted into that energy and I explained it that way, she instantly was like, oh, I could see how we could write a letter and explain. It's as if she shifted her energy based on what I was projecting, which, you know, we talk about often. What have been versions of what your masculine worth energy expanders have been throughout the years?
Ooh, yeah. I was working with this one male showrunner on a bunch of shows, and he was just all around like a great expander because he really paid attention to all of the employees on staff and all of those things. But so I was working in-house for another production company, and he came in and was the showrunner for a show, and he approved my pay, but like we had to go to the production company owner for my pay. And I remember when we were talking about whatever my role was going to be, he was like, ask for double that. Like, what are you kidding? Just because you're in-house doesn't mean you should be paid less. Like, that's ridiculous. Like, you should ask for more than that. And he almost was like a vision holder in that sense where...
Do you want to tell them what a vision holder is really quick for the new person turning in?
Yes, definitely. So a vision holder is essentially someone that is helping expand your sense of what's possible for you specifically. So they talk on something that, you know, maybe you haven't seen or awakened within yourself and kind of just give you that like outside validation of like, hey, you should be pushing towards this because I see some potential in you for it. So whenever I went in for other shows or other projects or whatever, I kind of had like his voice in the back of my mind of like, I do deserve to ask for more. I shouldn't be at this level. You know, I'm doing just as much work as these other people who are getting paid more, who are coming in as freelance. Like, this is crazy. So he kind of really opened the door of standing in my confidence and going in and even just having the confidence to say, I'm not going to accept the first offer of what I'm paid. That's not okay with me if it's not what I was calling in or what I wanted. I'm allowed to ask for more without that being, you know, a lot of times women or just people in general have the programming of I'm asking for too much, I'm being too much. Oh, I can't, they're already offering me this, I can't ask for more. It's like, no, you absolutely can. And so he sort of was the expander giving me the licensing to ask for more in that situation.
I love that. We get this question sometimes in supported, and it'll be like, I had this expander, but I found out they were a really bad person, or I don't like their ethics and what they're about. So now they shouldn't be my expander anymore, right? And I always say, absolutely not. Oh my gosh, whatever you find as a fragment version of them that's expanding your subconscious, imprint that. That's great. You know, integrate it and then move forward and find the other ones of the other aspects you need. And so even if you don't identify with the person or you don't love their ethics or what they're about, but if you are coming across these people in your life that are expanders, use them, use them. So I think that's actually a really good highlight, how we can kind of use anyone to be our expander or certainly fragment expanders.
Definitely. And even thinking in like the celebrity vein or the public eye vein, like George Clooney is one that comes to mind because he both hits like the grace and sort of the masculine worth where, I mean, even if you just look at the characters he plays on film, right? Because we maybe don't know him necessarily personally, they're all very much in their worth. Like, I think of him in Ocean's 11. Like, he's just like, yep, we're going to do this. We're going to do this. Like, he's just ready to go in and take what he feels he deserves. He really kind of embodies that.
I totally agree. I can see it now.
So then kind of looking at money, we can kind of see it through two different lenses, right? We can see it through a lack mindset and abundance mindset. And we had a post on this, and I'm sure we'll share it again, but how to identify you're in a lack mindset. So some of the things that we had on here was your family was always worried about money. You feel anxious about spending money or even on necessities. You don't believe financial abundance is possible for you. And then you judge others' spending habits. You could be at any income level and have a lack mindset. How would you have people kind of wake up to the idea that they might be in a lack mindset?
Yeah, I think an even easier way to distill this down is anywhere you desire something that, again, is coming from your true, authentic soul, worthy self, and you don't feel like you can have it, or you make choices rebutting it, you go against, so you'll choose an opposition of it. Anywhere you're conflicting with exactly what you know you desire, you're acting in a way that is an opposition of it, you are in a lack mindset. So that can even, you know, money and love, which we may touch on here, is so connected, you know. And so, like, to give you a perspective that most can relate to, when you're out dating and you continue to settle for the test, to the shiny carrot test, oh my gosh, it's everything on my list, but they're emotionally unavailable, or they don't want to commit, or they don't notice the little things in me, they're narcissistic, but I still am going to go for them. That's a lack mentality, right? We can have lack mentality in all aspects. And so, again, getting back to money is just energy. Even if you are having the obvious lack mentality around money, finance, career, if you're also having it in other aspects of your life where you're in opposition of what you know you deserve and desire from a very core place, that's lack mentality too. And you're also then communicating to the universe that you're not worthy of money in career, security, anything to do with finances. So just being very aware of that, I think a really easy key place to distill back down to is, who am I? From a core place, what do I desire? And am I in opposition with that, with my actions, with my words, you know, how I'm navigating life? Because that's lack mentality. And it really is that simple with energy. And when you do discover that you do have lack mentality, don't freak out. Don't worry. It's nothing about staying in the positive, staying in the abundance. That has nothing to do with how you attract money. It's, again, going back and understanding, using that moment when you have lack come up, if it's in any aspect of your life, because again, it's definitely playing into your finances, and using that moment to go through the daily reprogramming exercise. From trigger is a great one to use on this. Using test, that's a fantastic one. Inner child and shadow integration. Any of those, you'll be able to get to the root and reprogram and understand where that lack's coming from and re-pattern, re-imprint it. And then from there, you can understand where you need to navigate. So whether you're in the workshop and you're walking through and understanding the true energetics around money, again, getting back to opening portals, expanding, and then going from there actionably. It doesn't have anything to do with staying in a certain vibration or consciously in your conscious state, trying to catch yourself in the lack mentality and shift it in a conscious space. It won't do anything. So it really comes down to the actionables and using any triggers that are coming up. Again, wherever you're in opposition with what you know you deserve and desire, using that energy as a roadmap to get down to why you're blocking it, why you're pushing it away, and reprogram that.
What are some of the ways that you've seen a lack mindset come up for you? Like, what are specific examples that you're like, oh shit, that's the lack mindset?
For me, it'll come up these days. I mean, just in general too, envy is a really big one. Anytime you see yourself envious of someone, jealous is a lack mentality. Anywhere where we feel like because we're not at our best, right? We're not at our perfect this, weight, that, where we're supposed to be, we can't have what we want is a lack mentality. For me, where does lack mentality come up these days? I will see it come up mostly when I'm about to up level. I think that there's a contraction and expansion phase that we have in our life. We often see that when we're about to up level. It's kind of like that analogy I used to give where it's like a small crab in its shell it's left its old shell and now it's in between before it's going to arrive in this big shell. That's essentially what manifestation is. And in the intermittent, it's not protected. It's in new territory. It feels very vulnerable, very scary. In that time, that's when I'll find myself getting into a lack mentality, you know? And so here I'll use a current example so people can really see it, right? So I had a really specific budget for what I wanted to spend on this next property. And I've now found a property that like far exceeds that budget, but I see all of the potential of how I'll make the money back and it won't be an issue. However, I'm in that intermittent space where I'm like, oh my gosh, what if, you know, what if all the money gets pulled out from under me, as if that's always been, that's my number one Achilles heel. It goes back to childhood, is what if the rug gets pulled out from under me, because it did all of the time when I was younger. I would show up and my toys would just be gone because my mom couldn't pay storage, or I moved to 7 different apartments when I was little. I was going from household to household. So that's my number one thing. And so it's like, what if the company crumbles? What if, I mean, just crazy stuff. Yeah. And then I'll go and do the prosperity DI on it. So number one, and this is actually a really good thing to look at, I'll do the prosperity DI. And then what I did was I was like, I need to do the test deep imagining to make sure that this new property isn't a test, right? So It's not like dating where I'm just jumping at the emotionally unavailable person because it's the shiny carrot. So I need to look at that. And then from there, when I'm having all of these triggers come up of anything lack oriented, I'll then go through the prosperity DI and really look at, wow, it has nothing to do with this experience. So for me personally, because my trust muscle is so strong now, I know instantly when I'm having that intermittent, those fears, those irrational fears come up that actually are probably seemingly very rational for the common person, but not for somebody who's been manifesting for a long time. Mm-hmm. That's when I know it's time for me to slay it. And just as I said before, it's not allowing that energy to be lost. It's allowing it to be a blueprint of how I can hunker in, anchor in, and build my trust muscle more and continue forward one step at a time at manifesting this bigger up-leveled experience.
I love how you said you examined whether it was a test too, because I think a lot of times, and we'll kind of jump into that, like for example, for me, when lack comes up, or where it has come up definitely in the past, is I remember when I first moved to New York City, and it was like pretty recently after college, and all of our friends went out to dinner, and I remember spending $50 on this dinner. And at the time, and I had, you know, money saved and I was working for a job, but for some reason, I had never spent myself personally, I'm sure my family has or whatever, but I had never spent $50 for my own meal on a dinner yet. And I was such a budgeter. I've always been such a budgeter. I know what's going in, what's going out. And I was like, where does this fall in my budget? There's this $50 that like for dinner, like how could I have spent that? Which like now is so crazy thinking about. But at the time my body was like panicked, like fearful of like, oh my gosh, I'm spending beyond my means. Meanwhile, if I looked at, you know, what my income was, how much I had on rent, I was still saving money. So it technically wasn't beyond my means. But at the time, it viscerally hit me in my body of like, no, 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 you have to hold on to your money. You can't. You know, you shouldn't spend it frivolously like that, which are all things I had to unblock and go through. But what can happen sometimes is when people are shifting from lack to abundance, they say, okay, I'm scared to spend $50. Well, I'm going to spend $250. And there's a balance between, you know, going into debt and doing something that actually isn't, you know, in alignment or isn't going to empower you, is just a bad financial decision, versus paying for something that you can actually afford and feeling secure doing it. It's kind of like getting back into a secure stance with money.
Absolutely. And what you just highlighted, getting back to money as energy, and I want to show you how applicable the money as energy. And I think my objective in doing that is so that everybody can start to read their own energetics. The exact example you just gave, energetically speaking, again, I can read those from a manifestation standpoint, is the exact same energetic example of what I gave. It's like math. It's simple. what would it be? Algebra. If you take out your dinner and you put in a house, mm-hmm. and you take you out and you put me in, it's the exact same formula.
Yep.
And so what we're both talking about is that edge. And an edge always brings a trigger with it because it's scary. And I love the connection you gave, you know, that like Amanda Blair talks about in attachment theory, is that one can be avoidant, right? Those are the people that never want to look at their bank account. They are constantly taking themselves into debt and, you know, like getting themselves in these experiences that they're avoidant. They're avoidant and avoiding changing themselves into a more secure space, whereas you have the attachment that's like overly cautious and frugal and all of the things. So they're mm-hmm. needing to get back into a secure state. And that secure state energetically is what we're talking about. It's that whole, worthy, authentic, masculine worth energy when needed. It's a very secure, magnetic imprintation in your subconscious. And where that gold lies inside your subconscious is really hitting on those root memories that you're still looping on and projecting and manifesting back to you that are within those realms of either avoidant or attachment, because we can have both of those. So I really love how you broke that down just so everybody can see it's the exact same energetic scenario I gave, which we all have our versions of that wherever we are in our life. I can remember my first $50 too and having the exact same reaction you had.
And, you know, it'll come up at any price range or whatever, or, you know, lack can also come up when there's unexpected payments. For some people, that's bills or debt, or their student loans kick in, or their mortgage kicks in at a higher rate, or, you know, it's wherever that unexpected payment comes in. I think that can trigger lack for a lot of people. I remember having like friends' weddings pop up and not realizing that they actually cost like thousands of dollars to attend, just attend the wedding, between flights and dresses and gifts and all of these things. And I remember going through my friend's first wedding and, oh my gosh, like, can I afford this? What am I doing? You know, all of the fear comes back in, but it's kind of what you're saying, the same exact energetics of, here's this unexpected thing that's shown up. I can either deal with it and like stay small and go into lack and freak out, or I can look at it head on and unpack why it's coming up for me so strong. Is it a test? Is this a trigger that I need to get more comfortable in my financial worth? Is this telling me I need to start opening portals and be more financially stable? It's really a time when those fear moments come up to examine how you can really step up to like the next version of you. And I imagine a lot of people are going through this right now as they're losing jobs. You know, it's like, oh my gosh, this is unknown, uncharted territory. How am I going to have money come through? I'm never going to have a job again. I'm in an industry that's, you know, I might not have it again. And all those scary thoughts loop and make you freak out. And it's a perfect time to go examine how you can reinterpret your understanding of the situation and also what action steps you can put behind it to start having money come in, because there always is another way.
There always is. And anybody tuning in to who is in that position, who is in a rock bottom from the current circumstances in the world, it's so important to go back and listen to the bonus episode we have that's on the pandemic energetics. You can find it in the feed of the podcast you're listening to right now. It is exactly applicable to what we're talking about. And we don't have to get into the current energetics of why it's happening, or, you know, why it's happening on an individual basis for everybody. But listening to that will help prime you if you are ready to go in and do unblocked money. You'll have a very deep understanding of, for you specifically, your totally whole, authentic, worthy self, where you are and what your next step is. You'll have a really good idea based on how you are showing up in the world right now and the circumstances that are showing up for you.
Kind of piggybacking off of that idea of unblocking, a lot of what we're unblocking is sort of these belief structures that have come up to us from childhood. And this was something that was so eye-opening for me when I first learned this from you and learned this in the Unblock Money workshop and heard you speaking about it on Luke Story's podcast, which we'll link below. It was just the fact that my thoughts on money directly paralleled my parents' thoughts on money was just mind blow. I was like, oh, duh. Of course I think this way. Look how my mom spoke about money. Look what my dad did with money. Like, this makes so much sense to me. But I think whenever people are like, oh, I'm having money problems, rarely do they look at how they were taught how to look at money. So talk a little on that and what some of those subconscious beliefs may have been for you. You kind of mentioned a lot of them actually at the top of the episode.
Exactly. You know, that they were very conflicting. Everything we're manifesting today financially is in direct correlation to what we imprinted in childhood. And it doesn't have to be just the full-on dynamics of your parents. It can also be what you took in through media, the multiple caretakers around you, your community around you, what your peers were saying and reflecting back to you. So for me, I grew up in four different households, sometimes in 1 week, because my parents were so young. So I grew up with grandparents who, you know, were older in life, and they were finally at an upper middle class level of comfort and traveled a lot. And it was a very stable household, my most stable and my most secure home. And then I had two very broke young parents. So my dad, who was very frivolous with money, so he was more of the avoidant, and my mom, who was more of the attachment, like there's never enough, we have to budget. But in her own way, she did have avoidant and unorganized behavior. And then I had my aunt and uncle's household that both have PhDs, and he made great money. She was a physician's assistant, but it wasn't my house or my parents. I felt like a burden. That's one of my root looping blocks that always came up there. So there's actually shame. They have a lot of money, but I'm the poor cousin. I'm the cousin they have to take care of, and I'm a burden a couple days a week when I stay there, and I'm not really their kid. So I picked up from so many messages and so much imprintation that we're all at odds with one another. So yours could be from not only caretakers, but also the shame you experienced in school and, you know, then piled on with a little bit of family, or if you have step parents. I mean, whatever you were exposed to, those imprintations live inside of your subconscious. They're looping. So thoughts have nothing to do with what you're attracting in money. It's all belief systems that you imprinted from 0 to 7, generous if I'm being 14. And you're continuing to project those out and manifest those situations back in. So the moment that you take control of your life, so like an unblocked money, the very first things you look at in the workshop are, first, what did I pick up? And any type of childhood belief around money. Secondly, you start to look at what shadow and shame did I pick up about money? That's a new addition, because the more shame we learned about money, so if there was any subliminal messaging to outright messaging that money is bad, rich people are bad, if you have that looping down there, guess what you're doing? Pushing away all money, because, you know, it's shadow 101. If you were to have money like those rich people did, to whomever you witness saying that about them, you now would be bad and unlovable. So that's put into your shadow. So it's really addressing everywhere that you have these shadow aspects that need to be reintegrated. And then thirdly, you're going to look at what subliminal or overt messaging did you pick up through spirituality and religion growing up, right? Mm-hmm. So some people can be really in contrast to, especially if you've gone down a spiritual path, you have like Eastern philosophies that are more leaning towards Buddhism, that is like true enlightenment is detachment. It's not wanting or needing for anything. That's what true non-suffering is. And then you have like these mystics of the East that, you know, they were like, if you do this certain Kundalini Kriya, you'll have 10 times the amount of money you have right now. And so the beauty of looking at all of that in the workshop is you're going to get very clear on what's yours and what isn't yours. Mm-hmm. So the what isn't yours, that's all the looping that's happening that's blocking you and pushing money away. And you get to then go and use simple neuroscience to reprogram it and start to heal it, to turn that into an abundance mindset, you know, for lack of a better word. So once you look at all of that, you can start to really uncover, like at the top of the episode, we were talking about what we as a person, as an individual, what our core, authentic, whole, worthy self desires financially or career-wise or in home. It's getting very clear on what's mine. And when we can get to what's mine and start to heal it and make us abundant down there, that's when we've already completed true phase one of manifesting money, right? Because the second being expanding, the third being opening portals, and the fourth being truly not settling for anything less than what that core, authentic, whole, worthy self truly desires and wants, came onto this planet to experience this time around. All of us are different and no one is better than the other. That becomes a whole philosophical conversation about morale. So just knowing what yours is perfect and wonderful. And it's about really getting back to who you are and what you truly, truly came onto this planet to experience and desire. And I think that's a really good place to segue into our authentic code, our money authentic code, because it really gives a glimpse into what that can look like and how individual that can be. So I'm quickly interrupting this episode to tell you about a special code that is just for podcast listeners. If this episode has piqued your interest about checking out one of our workshops or getting straight into our All Access Pathway 2.0 that encompasses every single workshop that we have, go ahead and use the code EXPANDED, all caps, EXPANDED, for $20 off your first month of the Pathway 2.0. And thereafter, your regular rate will kick in for your 12-month commitment, or use the same code for $20 off your first 2.0 a la carte course, any of the workshops. And one place I love to direct people, if you're curious to just dig deeper into hearing members' actual experiences, if you click the link below or you go onto our homepage, click on the motivation. And that's actually just a free portal that everybody has access to that houses every single testimonial that a member has shared. So any big manifestation they've shared that they've manifested while doing this work and how they approach the workshops, what worked for them, what sped up the process. And an especially good place to hear from them directly are on prior episodes that are called The Process. And that's how members in this community have manifested really big things and their step-by-step process to doing so. And now I'm going to kick it over to Grace Abbott, our marketing director, who this month will share in each episode one quick tip of how you can help expand and manifest more abundance based on the terminology you've been learning in this podcast. Here goes Grace.
Hi everyone, I'm Grace, the marketing director at TBM. Over the next few weeks, I'll be giving you tips on how to use our process to uplevel your career and finances. I've been a freelance brand and marketing consultant for the last few years, and doing this work has really helped me open money portals, manifest clients, and step into my worth in terms of pricing and confidence. Today, I wanted to share a story about pings. We get a lot of questions about these since they can be a less linear part of our process, but here's an example from my personal experience where following a ping created an unexpected money portal. If you're not familiar, in our manifestation process, pings are a term that we use for those little intuitive hits you get to go somewhere, do something, call someone, those random ideas you should follow to show the universe that you're in trust. When you're aligned with your purpose, they tend to pay off. About 2 years ago, I was browsing the web and read some copy that said, "Sign up for our newsletter to receive all things good." The words "all things good" sparked something inside of me, and thinking it was a good business name, I followed the ping to see if the domain was available. It was, so I bought it. I played around with the idea of using it as a blog name, but ultimately nothing resonated, so I put it up for sale and totally forgot about it. Fast forward to last month, I got an email asking me for my bank information to process a payment. Thinking it was a scam, I called the company, and after being put on hold for a long time, the billing department told me that someone had purchased my domain name for $4,500. I was so surprised. The payment was direct deposited into my bank account 3 days later. It might have taken a few years, but what a cool testimony to the power of pings.
So this is a really exciting one, and it kind of parlays. I mean, if you've heard of Authentic Code from, you know, Lacey before, we have it in Next Level, our Rut and Rock Bottom, our up-level workshop, essentially, is kind of the core of where it came from. And so we were talking amongst the team and realizing that, you know, there really is a more granular one we can get to with money, because sometimes the energetics of manifesting money is the same as the energetics of manifesting anything. But money, for some reason, feels like such a hard, complicated, heavy tangible topic for so many people. And so getting down to your code specifically as it relates to money feels like it can kind of anchor everything down a little bit when you're looking to move the energetics of money. So what did you have down, Lacey, for yours?
So my first one is freedom and investments. And so when I answered all the questions, what that really comes down to, because we all have four that we can anchor into, like Jessica said, and that really comes down to security and never worrying about money or price tags again. I remember back when I was at my brokest, when I started to manifest, and I was asking myself, what does true abundance look like for someone like me? Like getting back from attachment into secure. Because the rug was pulled out from under me so much when I was young, and everything was like, well, look at the cost of that, you know, this is cheaper. And my family really valued quantity over quality. And the more conscious I became and just getting truly aligned again with my core, whole, authentic, worthy self, I actually really value quality over quantity, especially for the earth. And I love to upcycle and, you know, I love to reclaim and all that kind of stuff. So for me, I made the conscious decision back then that what true abundance would look like for me one day is when I never have to look at a price tag again. Mm-hmm. When I'm at the grocery store for organic food, I still remember when I only had $30 to budget for the whole week of groceries, which I talk about like when I was waitressing. And I remember at that point, I was like, true abundance for me will be when I can come in here and just buy the quantity of which I want, which is quality. So it's not a ton of stuff. It's just quality. And I never have to look at the price tag. It's the essentials of what I need without having to buy a lot of it or having to look at different pricing at a different store to get it there. So that's one big thing. And that applies to most aspects of anything I purchase. And then design is the second. And for me, it's really about design expression. So it's, I'm a Taurean North node and I'm very in it right now. And I have been for years. So to me, that comes down to clothes, to vintage jewelry, to, you know, homes and redesigning them and sharing them with my community, sharing the clothes with my community. I love expression and design. So that's a huge, huge pillar for me. It's what lights me up. It's what I save my money up for. It's my whole shebang. And there's a way to be really responsible about that, right? Because again, getting back into my first, which is freedom and investments, I'm smart about it, you know? So on the houses, I share them with my community. So it supplements and helps support it. It's not just like this frivolous, you know, thing I'm buying and wasting my money on. And for clothes, I share them or I sell them after, you know? So it's really important to look at that because things come back to that whole freedom and investments. So how can I make my dollar stretch the furthest? You know, what can I invest it in? Or if I do buy something that's considered less of an investment, how can I make my money back on it or help pay for it? So design and expression. My third one's family. Throughout the year when I'm thinking and setting up my life, it's like, how can I have children and spend the most time with them? Or same with Max, spend the most quality time. So even back when I was first hiring Lila, who was my first teammate, it's because I was working 14 to 16 hours a day. And that was like hardly covering it. I had no time for quality time with family. So the more that I progress and move forward, I know I can't wait to homestead with my kids and be into herbs again and gardening and all that kind of stuff if we do have children. So that's a third and big one for me. And then the last is independence. So Aquarian that I want to be able to pick up and go, get anything I want, anytime I want, on my own terms. Like I never have to ask my partner, my own full financial independence. I don't have to think about my family in terms of, you know, in the past, there would be times when I would be making a big investment or purchase and I would have to be like, Mom, can you co-sign on this? I want my own complete independence. So that's my fourth. What about you, Jessica?
Those are so good. Love you. Them. Okay, so I had expression, which was like home decor and fashion. I'm also like a great thrifter. Like I get really good excitement on finding the things, especially like large piece furniture thrifting. Like I'll find an old wooden table that like someone has tossed the curb and like wipe it down and refinish it or something. So finding stuff for my home lights me up a ton. And fashion. Fashion was a big thing when I was younger. I really, really cared about it. And it was definitely something that I'm still sort of unblocking through the lack mentality because when I was a kid, I had it purchased for me, you know, and I didn't really think about it twice. And I was very abundant in my fashion and always was like fashion forward and stuff. And as I've gotten older and wanted to be completely independent from any outside income, I've kind of put that to the side a little bit and haven't spent as much time on the fashion. But it was interesting doing this exercise where it came to light of like, oh, wow, that is really part of my code. And I've been ignoring it. And I bet I could be even more in my flow and abundant if I start to take the space in my budget for those fashion things, because they do excite me and light me up. So this was cool, and an exercise of even shedding the light of like being kind of frugal in that space, and maybe I should invest a little bit more time or money into it. My second one was adventures. So going out on really fun date nights, getting out of town getaways, travel, just doing adventurous stuff. Third one was wellness. I remember going into Whole Foods from like the first time I've ever been in a Whole Foods and thinking, I cannot wait till I can come in here and properly grocery shop with like a full cart of groceries and not be concerned that it's going to be like $300, because that's going to be amazing. Like, it's going to feel so good to get all these good organic things that I know are great for me. And the wellness also like incorporates like having, you know, a sauna or like fitness equipment at home and all of that sort of stuff easily accessible and not thinking twice about it. And then the last one, I couldn't really think of a term for it, but I put caretaking. And caretaking to me is like, I always said when I was really young, like, I'll know I've made it financially when I can go out to a dinner with like a bunch of my friends and be like, I got the tab. Don't worry about it.
The best. Yeah.
And I don't feel anything in my gut. I'm not nervous. I'm like so in my worth and confident. Like, that is when I know I've really, really made it financially. So like, that's a really big one for me. Or even just being able to like host a dinner party at home and get like super nice wine and not think twice about it, or like tip a ton more than someone expected at a restaurant if they did a good job, or be able to, you know, loan friends or family members money for things if they need it in a pinch and not feel any type of way about getting it back or anything like that. Those to me are the money core codes.
They're so helpful at helping us anchor and get clear about what our true, whole, worthy, authentic self is, you know? And once we are clear about that, we really are able to, like it shows you in that day of the workshop, delegate, detox, anything that's not in alignment with that, that's filling up space in our life, or what we may have picked up through societal programming that we should want money for. Mm-hmm. You can just clear all of that. And already that starts to clear space in your subconscious for helping you attract in what you want. It's also the most beautiful thing to come back to when something comes up and tests you, may it be triggers or opportunities, when you are starting that phase of up-leveling and manifesting and calling in that next experience, you can always refer back to this, and whatever's coming your way, you can really look A, your list, see if, you know, whatever this thing that's coming to you is testing you based on your list or it aligns with it. And then looking at this money authentic code and seeing if it's really aligning with that. It just helps you get clearer and clearer, because the more that you're manifesting from your most whole, worthy, authentic space, again, different for everybody. And there's no such thing as real ego here when you're truthful about that, because your soul, again, came onto this planet to experience its own unique version of anything. So the more we can anchor and get clear with that, the more we're going to start to really find our flow with manifestation and using that to be, you know, that thing that we check in with while we're unblocking all the stuff mentioned before, while we're expanding, and then while we're opening portals and passing tests. You have a real, I don't know what the word is, maybe you can help me out, but you have a real flow going on there with manifestation. And that's how you start to really find who you are in your true abundance mindset, what that really is and what that becomes and continues to build and build and build on until you realize the places you used to always dream about and manifest, which I can already share as an expander. I am what I used to manifest when I was that waitress, only having the budget of $30 a week for what I needed for groceries. I now am that version that I dreamed of. And that's through the exact work that you're doing here. And what we teach in the Unblocked Money is just what I know of how I've arrived here and helped thousands of other people arrive in that place as well, step by step by step by step.
And I think just going back a little bit to the money code, I think for people who are at home right now who are like, that all sounds great, but like I can't spend a dollar right now. I like have no idea where my next paycheck's coming in, whatever. Take your money code step by step. See it as like something you're evolving into. Like, yes, my dream is to be able to pay for a 10-person dinner without blinking an eye. I'm not there yet, but I'm working towards getting there. So what are micro ways that I could do that? Maybe that's paying for a friend's coffee. Maybe that's paying for these other smaller things on your route to that kind of ultimate thing. As long as you are putting the money towards that section of your code, it'll bring you joy.
And you just highlighted another version of money as energy, because again, getting back to simple algebra and using that as a formula, the energetic of you going past your edge and being able for the first time to buy all of your friends dinner and not, you know, sweat it. If you, again, take out dinner with a coffee and, you know, your friends are still there, it's the same equation. You're creating the exact same magnetism because it's your next weight for your trust muscle. Mm-hmm. So it's equally as effective in creating magnetism if it's your next edge.
Quickly, we can kind of just jump into this really fast, but who are just some of your money expanders that you're looking to right now?
You know, more than money expanders, getting back into the authentic code and my core essence, I actually really look at others who share what I assume to be a similar authentic code because they seem to have the lifestyle that I care for. I used to have some, and I'll highlight those and then I'll finish the tangent I was talking about. There's one in particular that really comes to mind because it's a perfect parallel. I used to date this guy, Ben, who's awesome. We stayed friends for a really long time after. I loved the time we shared together because of many reasons. He's so funny. We used to just get like stoned and watch movies and have the best time ever. So he was like a really even keeled, fun boyfriend to have. But his dad is also an Aquarius and they come from a really practical family in the Midwest. And his dad had moved out totally against the grain of everything he grew up with culturally, programmed wise, and what he was supposed to be. And he knew at a young age, he was like, I'm going to go out to California and be an entrepreneur, which I think was probably like his mom's worst fear ever, instead of becoming a doctor or whatever else she had projected she wanted him to be. And so the first time he came out, he tried what would then become the hour photo developing process, but it just never took off. So he had to move back. He ran out of money. He had to go work at, I think it was a car factory in Illinois, until he saved up enough to come back out to Reseda again. And when he was out here, he kept going to parties. It was in the 70s. And every single party he'd go to, people would be like, dude, what's your sign? And he was like, what's this whole astrology thing that people are into? Completely knew nothing about it. Totally educated himself on it because he saw that it was, you know, universally really interesting for people. So then he started what was the very first at the time in the 70s, a mail subscription astrology reading subscription plan. So basically people would receive in the mail for your horoscopes and then all that kind of stuff to do with astrology. He started that and it took off and he built a multi-million dollar business off of it. Wow. There was even a point where like spells became involved and all this stuff. And I remember being like, that is the coolest thing ever. I was genuinely obviously so into it. And he went on to buy, you know, his home in Santa Monica, his home in Arrowhead. I always knew I wanted multiple homes and to share them with people. And just he's what you would call the next door millionaire. You'd never really know because he knows his authentic code so well. He's not showy. He's not overcompensating for any, you know, shadow or limiting childhood beliefs. He's just living his best life, following his biggest pings. And so he was a major, major money expander for me. And it's so funny because back then I was like, that would be so cool to create something like that one day. And obviously it was only kismet that I started to learn my gifts and blah, blah, blah. And here we are now. But so that's kind of like one of the very first big, and I've had many in fragments and all of that. But to go back on my tangent now, what I often look at, and I'm sure if I were to do the expander DI, I could name quite a few money expanders, but I actually like to look through the lens of lifestyle and authentic code. So when I think of those, A few people that come to mind, and I've mentioned this before, one is Mimi Thor. I think that's her name. She's the one that lives in France in this beautiful chateau with her, like, I don't know, 20 kids. I think she only has like 6 or 7 and her husband, and they have a vineyard, and she's always cooking and they're homesteading. And it's a very aesthetically, my aesthetically pleasing life. So she's one of my lifestyle authentic code expanders. And then I love to look at Julie, who's a friend of ours, who owns the brand Rudy Jude, and they seem to be living their very authentic code lifestyle in Maine. And then I have another friend who, she was a chef here, and then she relocated to Orcas Island, and they have their baby, and they built their house from hand, and she's just out homesteading and enjoying that lifestyle, which seems like they're, you know, really, really lovely and authentic and happy doing it. So I actually look at those right now more than money expanders. But when I actually, this is, and I'm going to go off on a little tangent here because I think it's a great, great way to expand. More so than looking to money expanders right now or business expanders, I'm often expanding myself through reading about finance. Mm. Because I think that that's a place where we can become very empowered. And that's why we have guests like this month, Ramit, who is one of my favorite voices in that realm right now. So I'm often reading blogs, listening to podcasts on it, obviously reading his book, and actually following every action step. That's where I do my most expansion when it comes to money, is actually learning and showing my subconscious for the first time of how to do A, B, C, and D once I have it. And I talked about this in the episode. Back when I was just leaving, or I was still waitressing, and I happened to go on this trip with my boyfriend at the time and his family to Corsica, France, and everybody else is like just enjoying their time on the beach in Corsica. And I was reading my first finance book at the brokest point of my life. And I remember I was doing it because I was building the archetype of a millionaire mindset back then when I had nothing, because I wanted to already have that expansion that if and when I ever did have any money to invest, I would know what to do with it. And I did, you know, and so that's a great place to look for expansion in this, I think.
I think that's a really cool example too, because it's almost like you jumped off the cliff of not like educating yourself before the time came to do it. Because I know something, at least for me, is like, okay, I'll learn more about it like when I'm ready to throw another, you know, whatever amount of money away to investments. And the truth of the matter is, what winds up happening is that time never comes. There's never a time when you're like, I just have a couple of blah, blah, blah money sitting around. I don't know what to do with it. That time will be so much more rare to come up for you versus if you educate, you know where you're going to put the money, and then you can see like, oh, wow, for this, I only need a couple $100. For this investment, I only need this. So you have the tools to do it before the money even comes through.
And I think that for anything you're manifesting in your life, I think that's really important, is to start to archetype, or I guess find an archetype of what that is, you know? And so that's finding your expander, of course, but also architecting that subconscious expansion so that there's space already in there waiting for you. And then it's really the archetypes, the expanders, that are going to help your brain really see to believe it's possible. So I think that's really a really big deal. I mean, I did the same thing with design back when I had my very first studio to myself in East Hollywood and only had IKEA furniture. I was learning about my favorite architects, my favorite designers, and learning about the mid-century, you know, furniture I loved, or the different design patterns, or the ceramics. And though I couldn't afford any of it, I was architecting that in my mind to give it space. And then I would start to find my expanders who were just a little bit more successful than I was, that owned one Herman Miller chair. That's how I was able to manifest off Craigslist my first Eames chair. It is really important to, whatever your authentic code is in money, to really start educating yourself about those different aspects that you never learned when you were young. Your brain's never seen them, to create that, you know, that architecture in there, that space, and then going out and finding the expanders who have them, or who embody it, or who are successful in it. I think that helps it happen a lot quicker, combined with your your masculine worth energy, I mean, watch out. Like, watch out if you're not settling in your opening portals, for sure.
One last thing I just wanted to touch on, because I think a lot of people might be in this place right now, is where you had said that, you know, you knew from a core gut level, like, as much as, you know, you had a bad astrology reading where they're like, you're going to be poor forever, like, in your core, you knew that you were going to be well off and that, like, abundance was meant to be for you in this lifetime. So when you were navigating from, you know, the days of being a waitress, you know, scared to spend $30 on things, to that pivotal point that kind of put you over the edge to the next level, what were the tools that you were kind of going to that can really, like, strengthen people during that time? Because I think a lot of people are coming up on their edge. And I'm just curious of, like, what was the support that you were looking for at that time?
Yeah, from a very, very small age, I always knew that I would be notable and that I meant to have a life of luxury. I've always known that. And I knew it so deeply that I was like, whoa, how did I choose? Like, I'm not living my real life right now, you know? And I have friends that I've talked to who also share that. And they're like, I had that same feeling, you know? And I think that's a really interesting navigation tool that anybody sitting here is, what have you had that same feeling about in your life? You know, it might not be that, like, I knew I would be in some form of the public eye and I knew I would make great money off of it. I just knew that always. And so what are some of those? You know, is it I knew I would make a big difference in changing the world and helping the environment. I knew I would be a great mother of many children. We all have our different things, you know? And so I think that's a cool indicator to really look at and ask ourselves. That'll help you get even clearer on your authentic money code. And then the second part of it, the edge, it's really interesting because we all as a team sat down and did a roundtable last week about, you know, how to message this month of money. And without a doubt, am I wrong, Jessica? Because we were like, what are your friends feeling? What's your community going through? And hands down, without a doubt, any single person that's been like friends in our lives that have been doing this work for a certain amount of time, even if they are at their edge, they're not freaking out and they feel totally abundant and fine. Am I correct about that? And then anybody who hasn't is like losing their shit right now.
Yeah.
And so that's something I think that really speaks to the work, because it's going to help bring a little bit of clarity to my next part. My edge, my pivotal moment was so apparent. So I went from, you know, waitressing, having up and down acting jobs, and then I had a moment where I was like, I'm not waitressing again, and I took the job being the preschool teacher, and that was the most toxic. Like, I did not pass that test, and I took the dangling carrot, the most toxic experience where my body really got sick, all the things. When I left that, it burned me so bad that I said, I will never work for another person again. And the tools I was using are what would become this formula. Because at that point, it had been 4 years that I knew I had a gift. I stopped doing all of the manifestation, spiritual bypass, think positive stuff. And I started to look at all of the patterning that always worked for me in manifestation. And because in that moment, a year later, I ended up leaving my relationship of 5 years, I had to do the same thing over again. In that moment, I knew this is going to be what's going to make or break these tools. That's going to show that all of the patterning and all of the stuff I've picked up is true or not true, that works or doesn't work. And it worked. And so it was actually everything that we've been, I mean, now there's a lot more addition, but the core things were not settling, looking at all of my imprinted beliefs that aren't true and they're not mine, and healing them and reprogramming them, and then finding expanders. And the not settling piece, we all have to remember, is absolutely the most magnetic piece of all. However, if we don't have the subconscious reprogramming to back it up and the expansion, it can't go anywhere. It can just create situational magnetism. And so for me, I had been doing those two parts, the expansion heavily, a little bit of the reprogramming and the not settling, and really jumping off of that cliff because I was expanded enough and I was starting to unblock enough. It proved to be okay. And it proved to be true. And it set me off on the whole path I am on today. So, and I was opening portals left and right. And getting back to a point that I made earlier, prior to that moment, about 7 months earlier, I'd mentioned this book before. It's a really great book for this month. It's called The $100 Startup, for anybody who's been thinking about being an entrepreneur, or of course, during these uncertain times where you are at your edge. It is such a great outline of how you don't need millions of dollars or thousands of dollars to start whatever the thing is that you're really good at in this moment. Because I had nothing when I started my blog. I had zero budget, nothing. I did it all from bootstrap. It's a great outline because when I was reading it, again, I was being the architect of my subconscious. It showed me through reading it how to build the subconscious of what is possible with having no money, and how to start a company, and what are the logistics and the steps of that, and what are my gifts and all of that. And then I started to find the expanders that year around me who could reflect that back to me. And they really, really showed me, until I had the aha moment of like, oh my gosh, they did this. I have all those skills. I can do that too. So I was very expanded for that moment when I totally left and I didn't settle. And that was a huge thing, because money is my biggest Achilles heel and the rug being pulled out from under me. And so, like, to face head on my biggest fear of all of the programming I'd picked up since childhood. And I'll tell you, when I was leaving that year of the waitressing job, I had my mom, who still carries all of her limiting beliefs. And it's, again, whenever this is happening, it's just a parent who really loves you is wanting your best intentions. But I remember having her and my dad both go, Lacey, you have benefits right now. You have a steady income. Are you sure you want to leave this job? Even though it was so toxic and I hated it. And again, it has nothing to do with them. It's just a reflection again of you know, the programming they've picked up. And in my heart, I was like, I fucking have to. I know, for this manifestation technique to really prove me to always be right, I have to. And I did, and it worked. And so that's a really good way to wrap this up, that that was my first pivotal moment during that time, that I too, in real time, with nobody holding my hand or any guidance, was using the exact same tools you are, and it worked.
I love that. What a great ending to this money episode. I hope this was helpful for everyone out there. There's so much more in.
Oh my gosh, we didn't even cover like a fourth of the new additions in the workshop.
We covered a lot though. I highly recommend it. It's something that is just so helpful. And even in my personal life, unblocking so many things, stepping into that masculine worth, it obviously money ties very closely into career and stepping into your worth and what you're going to, you know, not settle on and all of that stuff in that space as well. So I think that there's a lot to take away and a lot to learn and a lot to unpack in there.
I think we'll probably do many more money months in the future, because again, there's so much to uncover, and it is a topic that not only always is of the most important to many of us because it's security and livelihood, it's especially important right now. So I'm glad that we can really get this new edition out there and support people, because again, in that feedback last week, that's when it really hit me. I was like, even if it's the only thing somebody can access right now is the prosperity deep imagining in our daily reprogramming exercise, that alone, doing that weekly, can be very supportive to alleviate someone from totally freaking out and not having any support in this moment. It can be so helpful. I think that's the only thing Max has actually dug his toes into, because he hasn't done enough of this work yet. I think in the How to Manifest workshop, he has gotten to, I think, tests. And he's been able to create a massive new portal during this time. He has a clothing brand. So this time especially hit him like it's been hitting restaurants and so forth. And he brought in out of nowhere this huge new portal just from continuing to do that daily reprogramming exercise as soon as he was triggered through finances because of literally everything coming up with putting out a new season and everything stopping overnight.
What really to take away from this is just that you can become the architect of your new financial life. everything that you've been conditioned to understand about money, programmed to understand about money, maybe even societally, systematically been oppressed on money, you have the power to take it back and create the money life that you are desiring for your authenticity.
Yeah, I've seen it over and over again.
Well, have a great week, everyone, and we will be back for another Explained soon.
Excellent. Bye, everyone. If you enjoyed this episode, definitely send it to the friend, the family member, whoever out there could benefit. That's how I garner a lot of my information, are when friends shoot over a really profound episode they've heard somewhere to me. I also want to encourage you, if you want to be entered to win a 1-year membership to The Pathway, go and leave a 5-star podcast review. We've been announcing some really cool ones and reading them off, and it's been pretty profound how already those Pathway memberships have been super instrumental to the people who have won them. We'll choose a new winner each month, so listen in here at the end of the episode to hear if you've won. We also want to invite any of our WISE community members to submit to become a process guest. So that's any of our members 45 and older who have gone on to manifest using the Pathway membership so that we can have you serve as an expander for anybody in our community who is in the WISE category. Have a great weekend.